This show was first broadcast on Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. For more information on our lineup of shows and the role we play in the media, visit freefm.org.nz.
With Community Waikato on Free FM 89.0. I'm Holly Snape from Community Waikato with Joe Wrigley today. Go Eco!
Kia ora, Holly. Really good to be here.
It's always cool to see you, my friend, and always great to talk about the amazing work of Go Eco because you guys have got some really interesting stuff going on, right?
Yeah, we're really excited at the moment about our newest release, which is the Library of Useful Things.
Yeah, so now this is fascinating. Tell me what that is.
So the library is a library that we're building that has all of those things that you use once or twice a year.
Yeah.
So, you know, once a year when you're doing Great Aunt Hilda's 80th birthday party.
Yep.
That one time. And you need all of those crock pots and extra cookware and servingware and like maybe a bain-marie.
Yeah.
Or Great Aunt Hilda has a soft spot for like steam food or hangi, so you might want a like multi-kai cooker and food steamer. We plan to make those things available to the members of the Library of Useful Things.
I think that's such a marvellous idea. I really do. So where's everything coming from?
So it's a combination of donations. We've received some funding from the Page Fund and a small amount of money from the Hamilton City Council Waste Minimisation Fund.
It's a really good idea, that.
Yeah. So people take out a membership, so you can look it up online. You take out a membership and there's a scale of memberships. You pay for a year, and then most things in the library you can take, I think, up to 10 items for free.
Oh, cool. Yeah, so covered in your membership. That's a really good idea.
So we're working through things like what is it that's needed in the community? So what are the things that would help our brothers and sisters in the community centre world and community houses when they run events? So what are those things? So that they don't have to go out and buy some of this stuff.
Yeah.
Or they can boost what they have. And then what are the things that our restoration friends need? Like, is it an auger or post hole driller to like do the first cut for plants to drop in a restoration project?
Yeah.
What is it you need when you've got extra volunteers on a planting project? Is it spades and forks? What does that look like?
That's a really good idea. How did you come up with this concept?
So it came from something called the Tool Library, and there's a number of tool libraries that have started up. But we wanted to put a new spin on it because in our own work, we're always sort of begging and borrowing, I won't say stealing, what's needed to bring a project together.
Yeah.
And often the greatest expense or the reason that a project won't go ahead is because of the things that are missing that you need.
Yeah.
So if we were collecting these things, how can we share those things with our communities and keep that replenished and useful?
And so I see that you can borrow something for like 7 days.
Yes.
So it's not just a pick it up in the morning, drop it home in the afternoon.
Yeah, like, you know, when you have to borrow a lawnmower or a tool from a hire company and you've got a half day or a full day. And regardless of the weather. So it's like, no, you come and get it, use it for the thing that you need and return it. We've also got quite a food focus. So the resources that people need to, say, dry fruit, you've got an abundance and you want to dry some food. We've got dryers. You've got something that you want to mend but you don't want to, you know, go and buy all the equipment, then you can come and use that at the centre.
Yeah.
And in some cases, you can borrow things like darning mushrooms and stuff.
I don't even know what a darning mushroom is. Clearly, I'm not someone who darns.
So you have mending and darning tools that are generally wooden.
Yes.
And the item that you're mending or darning slips over the top.
Like
and
a
it
sock.
Provides, yeah, yeah, like so you slide a sock over and it provides a surface that you can then work with to mend that
so you don't darn the front of the sock to the back of the sock.
That's the one.
Yeah.
Or, you know, to the skin on your hand or like anything like that.
All of those fun things. So tell me about how you go about getting a membership.
So you go online to goeco.org.nz and you follow the, click the link to the tool library.
And the prices are actually pretty reasonable, eh? You've got an individual price and a group membership.
That's right.
Yeah, and so group membership would be if you're part of a community centre or something like that, right?
Yes, yeah. Or a club or something like that, yep.
So what if, like, would you have a family membership? Like, so if it's someone in the, say it's me, right, and then say I've got a family of five. I don't. Let's just say I did. You know, and I sent my husband down.
This story gets better and better.
I know. More and more fanciful. would my membership cover my partner to go and pick something up, or should it really be me? Because the relationship is with me.
Wow.
I'm throwing a curveball.
Yeah. Like, you could always take a group membership if you want it for your family or whānau. But say what that is.
Yeah, that sounds fair. So I really love it. I think it's an awesome idea. Is it already happening? Is this already kicked off?
Yes. So we sent out our first email in the newsletter last week, I think, to get people to register. Once you're registered, you're in.
That's going to be it's such a good idea. So we want to spread the message with that. I think that's very cool. I'm also thinking I have some items that I think could be quite helpful.
We do welcome items that are taking up space at your homes.
Yeah.
That you perhaps don't use regularly.
Cool.
And we will talk, you know, if you're donating items, we will have a conversation about what reciprocity looks like in that space.
Oh, that's very thoughtful. That's very kind. So that's the library of useful things. So it's a wonderful name, by the way. I think that's fabulous. But you're doing much more than that.
Well, we are, as always. One of the things that we did recently and we're exploring with funders and communities now is we harvested a corn crop. So we're starting to look at food and communities with a new lens.
Yes.
Well, I don't think it's a new lens, but a different lens. Trying to work out through our food redistribution in communities, what it looks like to coordinate that in different ways, to work with producers and growers, to glean the end of season crops that aren't going to market before they are ploughed under, to work with crews to do that, to harvest fruit in communities, but in a way, we would like to do it in a way where we work with a gardener and a group of volunteers to harvest over a month rather than stripping crops.
Oh, so is that the way it's done currently with other...
Yeah, I think sometimes because of... And it's a necessity because the resources that people go in and then will strip a crop so it doesn't have to go back again.
Yeah.
But we would like to take a sort of community-centred approach to it where we work with the local community centre and the people in that neighbourhood to support the harvesting of fruit, like, you know, Fijo a season.
Yes.
You know, how do we support that? Plum season.
Yes.
Yeah. Grapefruit, oranges, lemons.
I was going to say, no one wants the grapefruit, right?
The grapefruit is a special challenge, but we can rise to that challenge.
We should be making marmalade, right?
There's marmalade. Some people can still drink grapefruit juice.
Yeah.
Like, there's a myriad of things.
Yeah.
And how do we respond to those sort of glut seasons?
Yes.
You know, we're just coming out the other side of the courgette and zucchini marrow glut.
Yes.
Everyone has 7 recipes for courgettes.
Yeah.
We know this.
Maybe that could be in the library of useful things.
So working through that, what it looks like to care for those trees in communities that are providing the abundance, sharing that at community centres, pruning and fertilising, feeding and caring for those trees that are then providing for communities.
Nice. I mean, that's a great idea. And obviously fits well with the ethos of Kaivolution as well.
Yes. So continuing the food rescue, and it's, as always, awesome working with the community centres in that space. But what we are noticing is that rise in demand. So we're starting to look through all of the ways of food and the way it's produced, the systems that produce food that feed the city.
Yeah.
And how we work with those to collect food that would otherwise go to waste.
Yeah.
And increase the amount of fresh produce.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any thoughts? Do you, like, is there much research that unpacks why we've got the type of waste and the amount of waste we do?
There's a huge amount of research, and I was actually on a call yesterday.
Yeah.
with the Office of the Prime Minister's Chief Science Advisor. So
oh, yeah.
We're feeding into the final report in a series on food waste. And yesterday that call was including that office plus food organisations plus growers and producer companies, food rescue and other people involved in the development of food systems in New Zealand. This country doesn't have a national food statement.
Ah, interesting.
We're one of three countries, I think, in the world that don't have
wow.
statements around food.
And for being, we're a food-producing country, right?
There's a number of things there, and I think one of the things that's always interesting to me that is if we go pre-colonisation, if we look at that moment, that time before Te Tiriti or Waitangi, this region, the region of Waikato, was food basket. We
yes.
always refer to it as a food basket. It grew sufficient food for the people who lived here and it traded the abundance.
Yes.
We don't do that anymore.
No, that's right. Yeah. So I think that's really telling in itself, right? There's a whole history about that as well.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, if you want to know more about the history, you can actually go on a tour and there's an app that takes you around some of these spaces and it talks about some specific land wars
yes.
where that whole area was targeted.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can even walk around the city. There's an app that applies to the city as well, but you can, everywhere that you stand in the Waikato, there is a history.
That's right.
And
yeah.
a whakapapa. And it's really interesting to understand how much of that was food growing
yeah.
space.
Yeah. So tell me a bit about the bike hub.
Ah, the Bike Hub is one of my favourites. I love the Bike Hub. The Bike Hub collects people's bikes. When people decide that they've grown out of a bike, that they don't want to bike, they no longer feel safe biking, or they're moving on up to an electric bike. Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Changed my life. Then what we do at the Bike Hub is that team, Jay and the team that they work with, then will accept that bike and they will assess it. If it's appropriate, they will refurbish it. And then they work on how that is reshared out to the community. Sometimes we sell them to fundraise
yeah,
to pay for Jay's
wages.
Yeah,
it's a great idea. Yeah, yeah.
And other times we strip them.
Yeah.
And break them down and send those parts off to be reused.
Very cool. I think that's a wonderful
idea.
We
also work with people to teach them the ABCs.
Yes.
Air, brakes, cables. This
yeah.
is how you look after, care for and maintain your bike.
Which is an excellent idea.
Yes.
So you went on a big bike ride recently.
Oh my Lord, yes, my butt has recovered. yeah. So we joined forces with GoEco, with Bike Waikato Bike Month.
Yes.
And some cool people from Hamilton City Council, bike team as well.
Cool.
River Riders were there and supporting the teams. And
oh,
also
they're based at the gardens, aren't
they're
they?
They're based at the gardens.
Yes.
And Fonterra brought in a big old milk tanker so that riders could experience the visibility of a tanker driver.
Oh, that would have been so interesting.
Super cool.
Yeah.
Super cool.
Great
so
idea.
That was a great idea. And at the end of all of that, we rode to Ngarawahia and back along the river trail.
Yes.
Which was wonderful. Once you get out of the city, it's wonderful in the city. I think the Mountain Bike Club designed that.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
So that was more challenging for someone like me who isn't an experienced rider, but I really, really enjoyed the opportunity. And
yeah.
I've got a bug now.
Doesn't it feel like you're a child again when you get back on a bike when you haven't been on one for a while.
Yes.
You know?
It especially felt like it when I lost control of my bike and smacked into a bridge. But yes. Like, yes.
We've all been there. We've all been
it's
there,
It's wonderful. And now I'm training myself, riding regularly, reminding myself that the next ride in October will be longer.
Yes.
Because that's going out to Karapiro and back. So we're going the other direction.
Oh, it'd be wonderful.
But like, I'm really grateful for, you know, the people that were involved in that day and for all of their support and encouragement.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the furthest I'd ever ridden before was 20 kilometres. And I was like in my 20s.
Yeah. So, I mean, I was going to say that was a while ago, and then I thought, that's going to sound rude.
No, it was a long time ago. It was like 35 years ago plus.
But I tell you what, like, I just think such a fantastic thing to do. There's been so much talk recently, through Hamilton City at least, a lot of tension between car drivers and the council trying to do things to make cycling and being a pedestrian safer. So it's been a really interesting, there's just so much anger there, right?
Yeah, and the anger, inevitably, my experience at the moment with anger and anger from communities is it comes from a place of misinformation or disinformation.
Yeah.
Not understanding that the decisions around roading and planning are all informed by research.
Yes.
Yeah. Things like raised crossings.
Yes.
Help people. It's an access issue. They help people with disabilities. It helps children cross the road. It helps the elderly cross the road. It helps me cross the road.
Yeah.
Because
you're not walking over and up and down curbs, right? Yeah. So that's a start.
Is a start. It's a common sense thing. But the other thing that intrigues me about some of the inner city angst around it is that the inner city has had a 30k speed limit for such a long time. You actually shouldn't be going any faster than that.
No, that's right.
So it's not about the speed, it's about the access to modes of transport and the ability for people to get around safely.
I think I get so frustrated with hearing comments like, why are they putting on all these cycle paths and no one rides anyway? And it's like, can't you see the irony in that comment? Like, why is it people are not riding?
Yeah.
They're not riding because people don't feel safe, you know?
Yeah, and safety is a huge issue. And if you think about the congestion around schools, and I know and I absolutely do not blame parents for wanting to drive their kids to school.
Yeah.
But we also don't put on buses for children.
Yeah.
So what are the ways that we could travel in groups that work safely? And there was the cute little walking
school bus. Yes.
Yeah, you know, but that stops at a certain age as well.
Yeah, it certainly does. And walking is fantastic. It's not possible for everybody, of course.
There's a regional challenge as well. I live out of the city. I have a very restricted bus menu.
Yeah.
You know, so we have to plan to take the bus. I still haven't worked out how to get my rather heavy electric bike on the front of the bus.
Yeah.
Without like 100 high school students laughing at me, and I have pride.
Yeah.
And so there's all of those things. So when you think about how many people have moved out of the city and travel into the city for work, that's a further strain on the thing. So there's also a responsibility for the regional land transport plan, which conveniently is open for you to submit on right now.
Fantastic. Nice little plug there. We should get back onto it because we're over halfway along. And I did want to ask about healthy homes and energy efficiency.
Well, everyone knows the superstar, Simon. So we've been working with Well Energy Trust for the last couple of years to build capacity and capability in communities, in community centres.
Mm-hmm.
You might see a theme here. We really like working with community centres as like community hubs.
Yes.
To train staff and provide support and resources and education around being able to assess homes. So that includes rental homes or homeowners' homes, and provide a range of tools and resources that help us to measure moisture, carbon, insulation, how to better heat and cool your home, and how to do read an electricity bill and do all of those things in an energy efficient way.
I think that's, you know, so critical, and we are coming into winter again.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know about you, but I've had another letter from my power company saying the prices are going up. So, yeah. You know, that puts a lot of strain on people, right?
It does, and it does in a period of time where there's so much uncertainty, it's an added stress and anxiety for families.
Yeah.
What we see traditionally is that, especially old people, a fear of using heat.
Yes.
And so the old adage of rather than the heater, use another blanket. Well, that's a first temperature shift. But there comes a time where your household temperature drops below 10 degrees.
Yes.
Or I think 12 degrees. And then actually you need a heater on. You need a source of heat.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. Because it's also about cold air going into your body, right?
Yes.
And like all of these things, if you want to sleep well, you need your bedroom should be at a particular temperature.
Yeah.
I think it's about 18 degrees or something.
18 degrees is pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if you can keep it constant, that's good. But all of these things to moderate have a contribution of electricity and energy use. So we explore ways with people. Often people's curtains are not fitted properly.
Ah, so what is the problem? Like, how can you look at a curtain and go, okay, that's not fitted properly?
So if your curtain doesn't reach the floor, then it's not fitted properly.
So it needs to brush the floor.
Yeah.
What if you've just got a half window, not a whole window going to the floor? Should you still have a long curtain?
So you still need a longer curtain.
Yeah.
You might have it a bit off. But what you've got to look at is that the cold air comes down and then up.
So it circulates around.
So it circulates around. So how do you minimise that?
Yeah, yeah. And so if you were to put your hand, you know, under the curtain where it's there's the gap.
That's right.
You would feel...
Sorry, I'm noisily nodding.
Yes. I think that's really quite, you know, those little tips can be really helpful, and that makes a big difference to being able to heat a home, right?
Yes, that's right. And the same goes for sun chasing. So if the sun's out and you want to heat your home, then open the curtains while the sun's shining into that part of the home.
Yeah.
Open the window a little bit for 15 minutes. Let some moisturizer out. Dry that space. But then be ready to close it. You don't leave it there for the day.
Yeah.
You then close that and you go to where the sun is next. Likewise, when you want the reverse of that, when you want to cool your home.
I was really surprised at how much of a difference it made closing the curtains, you know, as the sun had moved over and was coming in for the afternoon, closing the curtains, what a massive difference it made to keeping the house cooler.
Yeah.
I was surprised. Like, it was multiple degrees, you know.
That's right.
It was shocking.
One of the things that's really useful, especially in winter, we also found it useful this summer in our home, is that we sell little humidity meters.
Oh, cool.
So put up a humidity meter, because that will tell you the temperature inside your house and the humidity level.
Can you tell me how much they are? I might need to purchase one of those.
Oh, look, it's less than $10.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah. Totally. That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's a great idea.
To find them in the online shop. Yeah.
Oh, Lord, that's brilliant.
Yeah.
You know, there are just so many fantastic things that is going on. Are you guys still involved with Predator Free stuff?
Yes, yes. Still, the Predator Free activators are still working.
Yeah.
And we have developed over the last year, they've done a smashing job with some support from a Well Energy Trust fund to set up a collaboration hub. So we now have the central Waikato predator-free hub.
Fantastic.
So for every small, doesn't matter the size of your little trapping group, we collaborate and do collaborative funding, bulk purchasing, and all of those things, and then distribute those to the little groups, provide training, health and safety training, volunteer training, lots and lots. There's just so much that team offers.
Yeah.
I don't know where they find the time to do it at all, but they're cheered on by so many, like 100 small hubs across the central Waikato. It's incredible.
No, I think it's just marvellous. It's incredible what's going on.
Mm.
So there's actually heaps, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So people want to get involved. Like, how do people connect with Go Eco?
So you can come and see us in the corner of Kent and Commerce Street.
It's a cute little place. It's the old post office, isn't it?
Old, otherwise known as the old Frankton Post Office.
Yeah.
And you can come in and just chat to us. You can check out any positions we have at the moment on the volunteering Waikato site. So often advertise on there. We are really interested. We're about to have a Bat Fun Day in the school holidays.
Oh, fantastic.
So sometimes we do things like look for volunteers that can help with events.
Cool.
So, yeah, we're your people if you like events. Or you can jump on the website and we have an inquiry page there. So just reach out, contact us.
Yeah, I love it. So anything before we close off, anything big coming up that people need to know about?
Well, there's Bat Fun Day in the school holidays.
Yes.
Absolutely. Get out and... this week, Hamilton City Council's long-term plan has been released.
Oh, that's a really good point, yeah.
That is a big piece of work, and it's been a fairly brutal piece of work.
And I'd also suggest for people listening, and if you happen to be someone who does like to walk or to cycle around the city, there has been so much vitriol, you know, from the driving fraternity, and certainly we need our roads to be accessible for vehicles as well. That is important. But the more people cycling and walking, the less vehicles are on the road, right?
Absolutely. The more that we do, also the other thing is the waste minimisation plan is open at the moment and submissions are next week. The week after that is another round of submissions. So get in there, have your say. We will be holding an event on the... Oh, I don't want to get the...
First week of April. Yes.
We will be holding an event around submission writing.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Good idea.
So we're not going to tell you what to put in your submissions, but we are going to like provide some confidence boosting hints.
Yeah, about how to structure it and what sort of,
The environment has been there are huge environmental risks with the fast track bill. So we're also working on what that looks like with a variety of groups and how we feedback on that. I'm sure there's something else. If you go on our events page, there's always something coming up.
Yeah.
The crop swap will be coming up. If you've never experienced that, get in there. The repair co-op is coming up. The craft market's coming up. All of these things are regular fixtures and you can find information about those on our page.
And Kai Education as well.
Yes, we do have a big piece of work for MFE around every bite, and we'll be looking for 100 participants through April and May.
Wow.
To talk about household food waste.
So it's a watch the space thing, right? Yeah, very cool. And we're actually about reaching the end of our program. Before we do, though, I participated in a little bit of a preview, right? In the
Every Bite.
And I tell you what, so interesting. If you've got a chance to get involved in that, I would absolutely encourage you to do that.
Please do. It's all about appreciating food.
Yeah. And not at all... Oh, what's the word? Like, it doesn't make you feel defensive, right? Like,
That's right.
It's about being constructive.
Yeah, we want people to join a food appreciation movement.
Exactly.
That respects food, where it comes from and how we utilise it.
Beautiful. I love it. Thanks so much, Jo. Always appreciate your input.
Thank you for the opportunity.
And you have been listening to Connect with Community Waikato on Free FM 89.0.
For more episodes, use the accessmedia.nz app for iOS and Android devices, or subscribe to this podcast via Spotify, iHeartRadio, or Apple Podcasts. This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.